Do you want to feel happier? Do you want to feel more radiant and more alive? To go beyond alive and to feel truly like you are thriving? That's what I'm here for. Helping you find that best you that you know is in there. It is. And you can start accessing that you today. It's possible. If you're ready for a shortcut to just that, let's work together. Reach out and let's work one-on-one to transform you and your life into happy, into thriving. Reach out to me and book a quick call. It's in the show notes, and let's get you there. Are you really committed and ready? Let's do it. I'm the happiest I've ever been thanks to all the practices I've made a part of my life. You can be too. It's here for you. You can also access my course, The Youthfulness Hack, which is all about feeling good and getting radiant and all the things I do concentrated in one spot. Go there today and use code AMY15 for 15% off right now, only for listeners of this show. And if you are ready to truly have accountability and live happy, book a call with me today. The world needs your best. Commit and show up. Let's do this. Hello, and welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards, and we are here to uplevel our lives, to make our lives shine as brightly as possible, of which there is no limit. Just keep getting better and better in the most efficient way possible with experts like today's guest. So thank you so much for being here. You're doing yourself a service by turning up here. So thank yourself. We're all about self-love and stepping into that space where our lives can be as great as they can be at any age. Today's guest is Dan Fleshman. I am so excited to welcome you, Dan. Thank you for taking the time today. Dan is the founder of Elevator Studio. He spent over $60 million on influencers, an investor in 43 companies, probably and growing, a master charitable giver who created the Guinness Book of World Records largest toy drive, and also gives through Trina's Kids Foundation, and the host of the new podcast, The Money Mondays. Is there anything that I missed, Dan, in there or anything?
That's fantastic. That's great.
Yeah, you got a long list. And, you know, I have been doing podcasts for years, radio for years, many years, decades. And usually it's my wheelhouse. Usually I'm not nervous. And plus it's with somebody that I've already met. And there was something about your platform that I don't know, for the last few days I've had a little bit of a nervous stomach, and today I did, and it surprised me, and I was like wondering why. And I think I just feel like you have a lot that we can learn and that everybody can learn from, myself included, and I just really wanted to tap into that. So I'm just really excited that you're here, and thank you. So thanks.
My goal is to make you unnervous now. So
right. Very nice. See, that's already disarming right there. So
we can talk about zebras and camels, or you can talk about puppies.
You know, I did notice a lot of animals on your Instagram recently. So, you know, do you want to talk about animals? Because we certainly can. So what's going on with that?
So last summer, I bought a 26-acre ranch in Temecula to build an animal sanctuary on half of it. About 8 acres of it is an animal sanctuary. And then one portion of it is like military training. Like you get trained by Navy SEALs, and there's military obstacle courses. And then one portion of it's an event space for business conferences. And then there's also like a lake, ATV course, and all these other things there. But the animals is the main focus of it. My wife's obsessed with animals. So I thought, why not get the most famous animal person in the world, the guy who gets 200 million views a month doing animal content, why don't we move him onto the property, get him his own full-time videographers, rescue a bunch of animals, and here we are. So now there's 85 animals and growing on a ranch.
85? That's a lot of animals. Wow.
Yeah, they eat a lot. They eat a lot.
I have one tortoise and one dog, and they eat a lot. So if you need a tortoise, I don't really know how I'm going to manage that as time goes by. So who knows?
We got 5 big ones there. We'll take another one.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. In a pinch, I know what I can do, because I didn't think that through in the long term. So
they do get big.
And you know what? Of course, you like worked that into branding. You know what? You not only covered all the bases, but you like managed to invite someone who's the biggest animal content creator. And that's like how your brain works. And like, I think that that's like a big thing that we can tap into today, like talking about this, like how more people can just start to cultivate that mindset and like those habits of thinking that way, right?
Yep.
Yeah. How have you done that over the years? Like, has it been just a conscious effort to build that habit?
Yeah. So I've always tied in either my companies together, my investments together, but most importantly, my charity efforts have always been tied in with every business and every live event. And so by doing that, by intertwining philanthropy with the business, it helps on a lot of factors. One, it breeds emotional attachment, you know, from people that when I have the charity element to it, a lot of people are emotionally attached to it. And they, from the brand perspective, from me, they want to work with me more. So the charity element does have positive effects to it outside of the charity part of people receiving things. It's not 100% selfless. There are parts of it, the charity, that help with business, staff. The staff retention is huge because I tie in charity to everything. They want to be a part of it. And so ultimately, like every aspect of my life, I've tied in my charity to what I'm doing. And then with my live events or my mastermind groups or my podcast, everything, a third of my podcast talks about charity. Every mastermind, there's 3 days, one night of it's all about charity. Like I tie in charity to everything. Mostly because I want people to do more charity, but they don't have to do it through me. I want them to just do more charity in general. And I want to keep spreading the message about it. And so, yes, I've consciously tied it in my whole life into all my businesses, all my events, all my everything is tying those factors. And then when it came to the ranch, the first part was, how do I make my wife happy? Well, she wants animals. She wants to rescue animals. That's the first check mark, right? On the barometer. Okay, get that part covered. And then start to think about, how can I maximize to make it so that she can have lots of animals? Okay, well, we're not going to manage a bunch of animals by ourselves. Let's get the biggest animal person in the world to come here. And then tie in the charity element of obviously rescuing animals. And so you can see, like, the way my brain works is basically like, what's the main core goal? How can I tie in charity parts to it? And then how can I tie in a business part of it? Because to be blunt, these things are expensive. Events are expensive. Masterminds are expensive. Businesses are expensive. Ranches are expensive. Animals are expensive to feed. You know, like all these things are expensive. And so I have no shame in adding in a business element to whatever I'm doing because it helps all these things. If I don't have a financial element to it, I can't donate as much to charity. If I don't have a financial element to a ranch, I can't save as many animals. If I don't have, you know what I'm saying? Like every aspect I tie it all in like that.
Yeah, absolutely. How big is your team? And do you always pay everyone on your team? Because I think that there's a lot, you know, like work for the exposure, work for the, you know, training, work for the experience. Yep. You know, how do you feel about that?
Yeah. So for the most part, my staff is all fully paid because they're experienced staff that I got from other related companies. We get bombarded with volunteer requests and interns. We do take a few interns at a time at Elevator Studio at the social media agency, but not very many compared to my staff. The staff's been there with me for a lot of them for all 9 years and some of them for the rest of them for 3 to 6 years. So we do take on interns, but we don't actively seek a bunch of interns. The ranch, I'm going to take a bunch of interns because we're feeding animals I need a lot of help. But there's 13 staff there. Most of my teams and most of my companies, I keep what I call a ninja team. So I don't want to ever have hundreds of employees on any one company. I like to have 10 to 20 per business. And so every one of my companies has between 10 and 20 staff. My investments have more, you know, like Everbowl Acai, they've got, I don't know, 400, 500, 600, 700 employees now, but I don't own that or operate that business. I'm an investor. The ones that I own and operate, everyone has like 10 to 20 employees.
What about people starting out? Like, what do you tell people when they're starting out? Do you say, even if it's a stretch, pay your team or, you know, look for people that want to grow and help you? Like, what do you tell people?
Well, I mean, if they can, the reason to pay people is for retention because they can't work for you as a volunteer for very long without being able to pay their bills.
Yeah.
But if you're first starting up, you don't have money to pay a bunch of people. So then you have to have people buy into your dream and buy into your vision. There has to be a reason for them. They're either getting equity, they're getting experience to go get a job that does pay. There has to be something in it for them, or it's just an emotional thing because they want to learn about your space or maybe be you one day. And so they want to work under you. And so there are a ton of people that will work for free or cheap that are out there, especially when you're starting out. But if your company is doing a couple million bucks in sales, it's hard to be like, hey, come work for me for free, unless yeah, they're there to be an actual, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, you had a post recently that caught my eye, and it was like, I pulled it up right here. Being an entrepreneur isn't easy. It takes years of consistency and hard work. Having a healthy relationship isn't easy. Years of consistency and hard work. Being physically fit, et cetera. Building trust and credibility takes years of consistency. And I am in agreement that it takes, that consistency is key. And yep. I was hoping maybe you could speak about consistency for a moment.
Yep. So the way to build a personal brand is through consistency. The way to build trust with significant others, family, friends, staff, investors, partners, et cetera, is through consistency. And so by being consistent and just following through on your word, you know, you say, I'm going to be somewhere. If I tell my wife Friday, 8 o'clock, I'll be there. And I'm there Friday, 8 o'clock. And then next week I say, hey, Friday at 2 p.m. I'll be there. And then next week, Friday at 7 p.m. She's just going to start believing, right? It's just going to be automatic. I have the trust factor. I'm going to be there at that time when I say I'm going to be there. If I tell someone, hey, I make t-shirts and I'm going to ship you your t-shirt Saturday by 2 p.m. If I ship it the next Wednesday after that and I'm 5 days late, they're never going to refer me. They're not going to reorder from me. They're going to talk crap about me. I'm not going to get any clients from them. I'm going to lose clients. Consistency is so important. And so a couple things come with that. One, don't sugarcoat things. If I tell my wife Friday at 8 o'clock, but I know I might be there at 9:30 or 10, I say 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, because otherwise I'm putting myself in a bad scenario and I'm going to lose trust factor. If I'm going to make t-shirts with someone and I know it might take till next Wednesday or Thursday, I'm not going to say I'm going to have it this week if it's going to be next week. And a lot of times people try to sugarcoat or like think that they need to say these things up front. You're going to lose favor and you're going to lose credibility when you don't come through. And so from a consistency factor, it's under promising and over delivering. So by saying the same t-shirt concept, if I say, hey, I'm going to make your t-shirts by next Wednesday, but instead I give it to you by this weekend, 5 days early, what are you going to do? You're going to reorder from me forever. You're going to refer me to all your friends. You're going to brag about me because I came through 5 days early. And I only came through 5 days early because I gave myself a 5-day cushion on what I knew I could do. And I gave myself a cushion. And so if you do those things in your life by under promising, over delivering, and being consistent to your word, people will trust you. People will think about you. People will respect you. People will honor you.
What about though, building your brand and consistency as far as social media goes?
So that's the most important part of building a personal brand is one daily post. If you post once a day, you will build what's called top of mind awareness. Mm-hmm. Top of mind awareness is in that moment when me and Amy are at lunch next Wednesday, we're sitting there at lunch at 2 p.m. and she's like, oh, I'm thinking about buying real estate in San Diego. And I'm like, oh, I know this real estate agent. And then she's like, you know what? I'd actually also like to get a personal trainer out there while I'm there for the week. Oh, I know this personal trainer. I follow them on social media. And then she's like, oh, I would really like healthy meals while I'm there. Ding. I know this amazing lady. She makes healthy meals. Those all came to the top of mind awareness for me. As she said the word real estate, personal trainer, healthy meal, I thought of the person that does that I follow on social media. And so you want to be that person. You want to be that trigger word that when someone says a key word that's your business or your profession or your passion or hobby, you want to be what pops up in their mind. And to do that, you're posting once a day. And you want to be posting once a day on all the platforms. Even if you have a small following on the other platforms, it's important to have that consistency and build what's called omnipresence. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. You want to be on all the major platforms, even if you only have a few hundred followers on some of them, because you need to build omnipresence and you need to do it consistently.
How much time do you spend on social media, would you say? I mean, I know you probably have a team, but you know, maybe when you didn't, or how much time do you spend?
So the amount of time I spend is unfairly skewed because I own a big social media agency and we do 110,000 paid posts a year. So mine is for business. But I will say that for the most part, someone can build their personal brand in literally 4 to 10 minutes a day. It's just post on each of the platforms. And anytime you spend above that, you're not building your personal brand, you're scrolling, which is fine. but you're not building your personal brand. Once you've done your post and responded to comments, outside of that, you're just engaging and scrolling through. That's not much about building your personal brand. What your time takes is the captions and the video or photo. You should be doing a lot of those things on like a Sunday morning for 2 hours, get a bunch of videos and photos and a bunch of captions written. So that's done for you for the next 1 or 2 or 3 weeks in advance. Not try to figure out Tuesday morning what to post or try to go make a last minute video. Make a bunch of videos and photos on a Sunday morning for a couple hours and have it preloaded in your phone.
Do you care if there's like a little typo in there? Do you worry about errors or do you just roll to the next one? Do you just kind of like say, okay, that's part of it and that's part of the fast pace of social media?
Here's a fun secret. Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, actually makes spelling errors on purpose because it increases engagement.
Ha ha ha, that is good. Yeah.
Because all these people are like, oh, you spelled the
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
And by the way, perfect is not relatable. And so if you make social media posts that are raw or from your phone, they're going to convert much higher than a fancy camera with fancy graphics. The raw content from your phone will always do better because people trust it more and they feel more comfortable with you that it's not some perfectly photoshopped, you know, glitz and glamour video.
Oh, that's good. I totally agree with that too. There's just something that feels more intimate, you know, in that moment, I think. So back to that post that I was talking about with consistency, it said consistency and hard work. And I was wondering if you, do you really see it as hard work or like, is that really the word that you use to describe what you do, hard? Or do you see it as something like enjoyable?
I enjoy my work and I enjoy the hard parts of it too. The hard parts of it are usually dealing with people. You know, people don't come through. People have headaches and drama and emotions and situations and arguments. And he said, mm-hmm. she said, and they show up late or don't show up at all. Like most of the hard is dealing with humans and situations with them. And that's why as a CEO and entrepreneur, you're a firefighter. You're putting out problems all the time. But that's the hard part of it. It's just a lot of that. And dealing with a lot of them at the same time can get hard. But I enjoy every moment of that. Like it'd be boring if that wasn't happening. Like I can't even imagine, you know, sitting on a beach because nothing's going on. It makes me tense thinking about it. Like I want stuff to be happening.
Well, I think the reason I ask that, because I think it can be kind of like people can get the wrong idea, like, oh, I'm not supposed to enjoy this, you know, or something. And so that's why I wanted to just like tap into that, because like, I really enjoy the work of it, of a lot of things that I do, and it can be challenging, but I try to shift my mind and like enjoy. And that was my daughter walking through right there. So that's why I asked. And I wondered too about words for you, because I wondered if you're like careful about what words you use even to yourself. I'm like such a, like, I just tap into the power of my voice and the power of words so much. And so I wondered if you do, because so many people, like yours has a lot of social media and so many people, it's such a common conversation, like, oh my gosh, I hate posting, or, you know, like these things that people say. And I wondered like what you use and what your mindset is like around that and your word.
There's a couple words that I do not use. And like, I slap my hand if I do. I don't use the word starving. Because we're not starving. There's one out of four humans in the world is starving. We're not starving, you know? And so obviously you guys in your charity, you see actual people starving and that's starving. And so I'm always cognizant of that I am hungry, but I'm not starving. And so I really avoid that word. I think it's rude for me to even say that word. And I think it's rude for anyone in America basically to say that word for the most part. I also am very aware when I say, and I rarely say it, or other people say the word honestly or to be honest. If you say honestly, you're implying that other things that you've just said might not be true.
So good. Yeah. So right. Right. Why do I have to clarify this one is honestly?
Yes. And so for the last 20 years, it's been stuck in my head. I was on a plane with a guy named Marshall Silver. He's the most famous hypnotist in the world. And Marshall Silver, I was 18 or 19 years old. We're on his fancy private jet. I'm a kid. Like, I'd never been on a private jet. And in the first few minutes, something was said. And I was like, well, honestly, like, and I started speaking. And he, like, cut me off and he like yelled at me, like, we just met. And he was like, when you say the word honestly, and it's just burning my brain. And so I'm very aware when people say it, and I mention it to people often. It's like, it's a fun game to me because it happens often. And I mentioned to people, like, when you say the word honestly, just keep in mind that's inferring that other things you have said recently to me is probably not true.
I'm never going to forget this for the rest of my life. Yeah. Like, you've just burned that into my brain, because I don't think I use it a lot, but I know it's just a figure of speech. It's one right. of these things that we just toss around, and we use our words so loosely sometimes when really they, I think they have so much value and so much meaning. So, I mean, I take it seriously. So thank you. I like that. Who do, so into branding, you know, you're all about building your personal brand. Who do you really look to as a brand master? Who inspires you, at least right now, maybe, or today?
There's very few brand masters out there besides someone like The Rock. The Rock is a brand master. Kevin Hart is just on a whole different level of what he's done. Ryan Reynolds, what he's done with his
work. He's good.
It's unreal what he's done. When you think about, these are actors and comedians that have become billion-dollar, like actual billion-dollar companies and brands. Logan Paul, you know, these are guys that are influencers and actors, and they are now literally, like, Logan Paul is a child. He's 27, 28 years old, and his company is worth well over $1 billion in 2 years flat. And he's the star of WWE. 5 years ago, I was, you know, running around with him at his house, and he's like, a 23-year-old kid. Kevin Hart, I was with him 10 years ago. He was going to do performances at shows for $200 and $400. And now he's got the number one selling arena tour in the world. Like, when you think about The Rock, how he came up, and you think about Ryan Reynolds, like, when you think about their stories of where they came from and what they are now, it's fascinating what they've built. And each of them has built a billion-dollar tequila brand or drink company or aviation gin. All four people I just mentioned all have a beverage company that's worth over $1 billion. So it's fascinating what entertainers can do with social media, and that came from their social media, not from their acting.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, Ryan Reynolds really latched onto, you know, his sarcasm, his like way of being, and it's like fed into all of it, I think. Is there a woman you can think of?
On the branding side, let me think.
Putting you on the spot.
No, there. I'm thinking of her name, Tiffany Haddish. So,
oh yeah, yeah.
Going from effectively homeless, similar to Oprah, but Tiffany Haddish, she is so consistent. She's at every event, Super Bowl weekend, NBA All Star weekend, Grammys, Emmys, MTV Awards. She puts in the work to be up on stage, posting, interacting with the other celebrities, doing social media, and she's built a $1 zillion movie career out of it. And all from her hustle, like literally just from her hustle. Like, I've watched her network her way through not just Hollywood, but like business world, and she's a full-fledged movie star.
Yeah, she is. And not only that, she was so on brand when she told the story that went viral about buying a Groupon and taking Will Smith on this Groupon, and it went viral and everything. And then the next thing you know, she is the pitch woman for Groupon. And I was like,
exactly.
Well played, yeah, you know,
exactly.
Like those kind of little things, if we can tap into, like, just that's brand master, right? Like, that's.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah. So, are those the same people that like are inspiring you right now? Like, what are you feeling inspired by right now?
There's a lady named Jamie Kern Lima. She built up It Cosmetics to sell it for $1.2 billion all cash. She did it without investors. She did more hours on QVC than pretty much anybody in history. And she was the host of her own product on QVC for hundreds of hours a month or whatever the number was forever, for years and years and years. And now she's transformed to be, you know, household name speaker, selling out arenas, New York Times bestselling author, et cetera, from her social media side of it. And so just watching her has been amazing to watch her growth. And then the other person I'm inspired by is Nick Santanastasio. You know, he has no legs, one arm, one finger really. And you know, he's out there working out with The Rock and speaking on stage with Tony Robbins, not once, like often, like the whole tour. And so like watching someone with no legs and one arm go out there, work out, be in fitness competitions, be on stage with Tony Robbins, like this is, nobody has excuses.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. What's your excuse? You know? I've met Nick and I thought like, what am I complaining about? You know, like exactly. He's such a badass. So, yeah. I mean, couldn't agree more on that one.
Are you ready to up-level your pleasure practice? I have in mind, and the main things that have helped me are the tools that I've found from Wands. Wands creates luxurious products that encourage us all to honor our body, celebrate our sexuality, and live in pleasure, with more pleasure all the time. One of my favorites, if you listen to this show, then you probably already know, is the cervix wand. Wands has trademarked their number one best-selling glass pleasure wand. It's for vaginal and anal de-armoring, and it's designed for cervical and G-spot stimulation. And let me tell you, it's incredible. It's helped thousands of women become more connected to their bodies and their pleasure, and supports them to heal pelvic pain through self-yoni massage, and helps awaken more pleasure. Just recently, I've ordered the Venus Wand, another trademarked wand from Wands, and it's designed to activate and awaken the G-spot and more. Also, don't miss one of their new offerings, which are free bleed blankets that can be used as waterproof intimacy blankets. They have a beautiful selection now available. But take a look around at wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, because they have a huge selection of incredible items like yoni eggs, crystal pleasure wands in amethyst, black obsidian, anything that your heart desires, and so much more. Check them out at wands.com. That's W-A-A-N-D-S.com. And use my link in the show notes to get 10% off, or simply enter my code, Amy Edwards, at checkout. Again, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, wands.com. Y'all, I have started using higher dose products, and I am such a fan. You know, I don't put anything on this podcast that I am not 100% completely behind. And I have a special discount code for you for all higher dose products. I'm so excited. If you don't know, Higher Dose is a wellness company. They have wellness tech products, they have tools, they have supplements, and they have body care. They have so many things that are hot right now too, that are really biohacking and up-leveling our lives at home, which is really cool. They have an infrared sauna blanket. They have an infrared PEMF mat that I'm so excited to be sharing about soon. One of my favorites though is the red light face mask. It stimulates collagen, it activates glowing skin, reduces fine lines, regenerates cells. And it's soft. It's not like one of the hard plastic ones. So you can kind of move it around on your body, which I've been doing. And I am seeing amazing results. I am absolutely addicted to it. I use it every single night. And I'm using it in conjunction with one of their other products, the Glow Serum. And I'm very picky about what I put on my skin. And I am loving the Glow Serum. It's specially formulated to plump and hydrate and stimulate radiant skin, which that's the goal. They have a ton of other products too, magnesium ingestibles, magnesium body care, which has a healing oil and a serotonin soap that you can use in your bath, which I've been using too. It boosts your mood, enhances your skin, and deepens your detox, gets you calmed down. Anyway, I'm a fan, so I'm so excited to offer you 15% off using my code MAGIC15. Go to the show notes. You can click through on the link right there, or if you go to Higher Dose, just enter the code MAGIC15 and you'll get 15% off. Higher Dose has been featured in Goop, Glamour, Elle, Vogue, Bazaar, Allure, basically you name it. And there's a reason why. So go check it out. It's at higherdose.com and enter my code MAGIC15 for 15% off.
So let's pivot a little bit and talk some about money, because you have your podcast now, The Money Yep. Mondays, and congratulations on that. Ooh. And I wondered, like, you know, let's foundationally, like, what is your self-talk around money? I love that you have giving in so much of what you do. I am trying to step up my own giving and incorporate that into more what I do. And of course, we've got Fight for the Forgotten, so it's like built in there. But I just wondered, like, what was your self-talk around that, even growing up, and how has that evolved for you?
Yep. So the concept of the Money Mondays is about the fact that we grew up thinking it's rude to talk about money. And for many years, I've thought about that being the opposite. And I bring this up at the beginning of every episode. We talk about three things: how to make money, how to invest money, how to give it away to charity. And that's what I interview and ask the question about those three main topics. And in between there, we talk about the things that we all should have grown up learning in high school: how to deal with apartments, rent, lease, landlords. What the heck's a FICO score? How do you spell FICO? Like, how do I get a loan? What am I like? Everything about how to get a job. What salary should I ask for? When do I ask for a raise? What raise should I be asking for? Is there a percentage number? Like, when I get this, what are these taxes that are coming out? Should I be saving money aside from my actual taxes, or do they do it? Like, we don't know, because we're 17 or 18 years old and our parents throw us into college or out the door. And now you go from drinking out of a sippy cup to now having to go run your life.
And pay student loans, maybe. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
So I just feel like the whole concept of the podcast is that I want to make the conversation about money happen in households, offices, and everywhere, so that people talk about it bluntly, because it'll help a lot of situations. We don't know about credit cards. We don't know about debt. We don't know about loans. We don't know about any of these things because we just don't talk about it. It's rude.
How'd you learn it? What'd you do? You just jump in?
I immersed myself in it because I started my company at 17 years old. You know, that's a long time ago. I started my company over 23 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no social media. There was no cell phone. We had pagers, you know, like, and immersing myself in it and doing millions of dollars in sales. We did $9.5 million in sales. I was 19. I had to go get offices and hire employees, and there was nobody to talk to. There's no books. There was no social media. There's no TV shows about it. And so I immersed myself in it. And there was a lot of the hard parts along the way of doing that. And so I call it real life university. Like, I went through the real life.
Did you find mentors, or like, is that a key for you, finding mentors?
Yes. So I had a mentor by default. I didn't get to see him that often because he was busy, but Christopher Wicks, he owned the licenses to Hang 10, Ocean Pacific, Body Glove, LA Gear, Fender Guitars. He was like the legend of apparel.
And some of those had a big resurgence around then too, like in the early 2000s, you know, OP. Yes,
that's exactly what it was. I started my company in 1999. And in the early 2000s, I was working out of his office in his warehouse. And so I learned a lot from him. And nowadays, people can learn from anyone they want, because almost anybody on the planet, from Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, everybody, they have podcast interviews, TV interviews that are all free on YouTube right this second. And so you can learn about from the best mentors on the planet, from their books or their interviews, now, right this second, in real time for free. And so when I grew up, I had a few mentors along the way, but I didn't get to see them that often. And I wish I could have just sat there and watched their videos from home. Would have been nice.
Which is what you're putting out now, like what you needed, essentially.
Exactly.
Which is
exactly.
Really cool. Yeah. Why is it that a personal brand is just so crucial? Like, because it takes time to evolve. Like, what do you tell people to get in touch with to build that?
Yep. So the reason personal brand is so important is it, when you create top of mind awareness, you get in a lot of conversations. People are going to think about you for your business, passion, career, or hobby. And mostly what matters to you financially is about your business. And so if I think about you and you do real estate, and like I mentioned earlier, and I say, oh yeah, a real estate person in San Diego, Amy, you should talk to them. And then you go buy a fourplex from them for $800,000. They make 3% commission. They make $24,000. They don't even know who I am. I was just a social media follower that follows this real estate person in San Diego. I refer them to Amy out of lunch, and boom, they make 24 grand from helping Amy with a fourplex. That's real life stuff. That's not like an imaginary theory. It happens all the time. And so personal brand, if they didn't post and I didn't know about their puppies and when they play basketball and like know their personal life and what salad they like, if I didn't see their social media for the last couple of years, they wouldn't pop into my head when Amy said real estate in San Diego. Somebody else would have. And somebody else would have made $24,000. Literally, just because of the puppies and basketball, I referred Amy, this person in real estate. And so by having that social media awareness and having that personal brand, it makes you in the conversation. It makes you have top of mind awareness. So whatever you do, if you're a tutor, if you make hand quilted things, you make pillows, if you're a real estate agent, a personal trainer, anything that you do, you want to have a personal brand attached to it, because it leads to sales, relationships, investors, partners, friends, And by the way, if none of those things happen, it costs you nothing. You're carrying a phone in your pocket that has a fancy camera. You're going to go to work or do your hobby anyway. Like, just pulling your phone out of the things that you already do, you have a fancy camera. All the platforms are free. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, everything's free. So there's no cost to anything I'm talking about. But the upside is infinite. So the downside is nothing. Like, nothing bad can happen because it costs you nothing. But the upside is, what if you do get more sales? What if you do get more leads? What if you do get more partners, investors, relationships? And mm-hmm. so your upside is infinite and your downside is nothing.
Absolutely. Yeah. You do so much. How do you not get burned out? Like, what do you do?
I just love it. So like the when the bad stuff is happening, that's part of the game to me. And so I have a lot of moving parts, but it's mostly run by group chats. So mm-hmm. that way I can manage a lot of people and a lot of things. Literally, as we're talking right now, it's scrolling on the top of my phone. I see, I'm trying not to look at each message.
What platforms are you using for that?
I literally, those are group chats and WhatsApps. Like,
that's it? Like, you're not using, Asana or something?
I use ClickUp for the company, for each of the businesses. But we use ClickUp, but I'm barely on there. My staff does that. The executives do that. Everything nice. I do is I'm like a caveman. I'm literally use text messaging. Because there's a 99% open rate. Like, I know you saw my text message, you know?
Right. Yeah. So what's your schedule like? Like, do you schedule your mornings like for self-care? Do you like for workout, for whatever, and schedule work, or do you work all the time? Do you like, how's that go? How's that look for you?
I work way too much. But that's because I'm addicted to it. And in the process of it, I don't want to chill out. I don't want to sit down and be like, oh, let's just hang out. Like, I don't enjoy that. I like the game. I like the moving parts. I like the bad stuff. I like the scaling. I like all the action. And if there's no action for a while, I'm going to add something, which is dangerous. Mm-hmm. So I also try to keep myself busy. I don't want to add any more things, more companies and more deals. I want to like focus on the ones that I have. I don't have a specific morning routine because I just jump right into it, which is not, you know, what Jim Quick and Ed Milette will tell you to do is not what I do. I jump right into it because it's what I want to do. And the first thing in the morning, I want to get after it. However, I know that there's negative parts of that. When Jim Quick and Ed Milette say, like, the first thing you do when you open your phone, you're going to be putting out fires because everyone's going to be asking you for something. And the first messages in the morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., nobody's offering you anything. They're asking you for things. All they are is like, fix this, take this, fix this. I need. I'm well aware of it. And personally, I need to fix those things. I would be bothered if I didn't. And so I dive right in and really bluntly, boom, do this. You know, like, that's part of the game to me. So,
you know what? I kind of have to do the same thing sometimes. If I know that there's things I need to fix, it just helps my mindset start my day if I go ahead and take care of them early, and then I'm able to like meditate or something like that. Like, I don't tend to put those things off if they're like sitting in me. And I think that's like worth noting. Like, it's good to have a morning routine and all that, and it can serve you, but there's, I guess, both ways of doing things are valid and can serve people. And so I guess the older I get, the less rigid I am about all this stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
some people need to be rigid.
I needed to be rigid for a while until I established a lot. And then, I need to be rigid in other things like my money management or, you know, brand building, things like that. Like, I need to be rigid in other ways in order to more fully establish that. But I think it's just worth noting that like finding things that work for you is okay. Giving yourself grace, like, this is how I function. Don't you think so? Like, not absolutely. Being so, yeah. Yeah. Even though you're like rigid in, you know, how you're operating your business, like you're non-compromising and showing up and things like that.
You learn yourself. And I think that's why going through rigid things will help you learn yourself. Like, when people go through 75 hard and go through that 75 day process of like drinking a gallon of water and working out twice a day and reading 10 pages of a book, like, the process of 75 hard is really important to some people because they need to go through it. And then once they go through it, they can learn about themselves after 75 days. Do I need to do that again? Because that's the only way I'm going to like be strict with mm-hmm. myself. Or I learned things from what I did, and I'm glad I went through the 75 days, and now I can change certain parts of my life and become more strict about some things and looser about others. You have to go through, I think, the hard part of being rigid in order to learn about yourself, similar like a diet. People go through hardcore diets. When they're not on a diet, they get really sloppy or messy. So some people mm-hmm. need to be on a diet all the time because that's the only way that they're going to function and not gain themselves 12 pounds. They need to be on a diet. So it depends on you. And you have to learn yourself. And I think the way to learn yourself is go through the hard stuff. Go try to be rigid.
What about you? What are you rigid about besides your consistency and reliability in your business?
I'm very stubbornly rigid about the bad stuff. So meaning I've never done a drug in my life and nothing will ever change. I've never been drunk in my life and that'll never change. There's some things that are like, I'm surrounded by drugs and alcohol all the time because I travel all around. There's always events and parties and people. Mm-hmm. And I'm so stubbornly rigid that I don't even know how to say like the amount of like stubbornness that comes with that. And I try to consider that in all aspects of life, like the things that I don't do or I'm not going to do. Like if I'm not going to eat it, if I'm only going to eat one steak in a month, then nothing will change that. You're not going to tell me I'm going to eat a second steak. If I've never smoked a cigarette, nobody's going to change that. Even if it's like my idol or hero, like Elon Musk, who's like, hey, smoke a cigarette. No, I'm not.
Right.
I'm just not. And I stand by that because otherwise I know I have an addictive personality. I would like drugs. And so I'll never do it. I would like cigarettes because I think it's a pacifying behavior. I'll never do it. I would enjoy getting drunk because I think it's a release. I'll never do it. And so if I know myself, I will never do those things no matter what, literally under any circumstance. You couldn't pay me $1 million to do any one of those things. And people would be like, oh yeah, of course you'd smoke a cigarette for $1 million. No, I won't. I literally won't. Because I know that it's a pacifying behavior that would be good for me and it might relax me and I would get addicted to it. And so I'm not going to do it.
That's some next level discipline right there, Dan. I'm like really impressed by that. I mean, you were never even tempted when you were young. Like you just in high school when you were just driven. I don't know. Like you sound like a special breed of mindset, really. Like just discipline.
Some of it stems from pain. Like I lost friends early. Some friends passed away due to drugs and alcohol. And some of them got in car crashes and some of them were famous football players and they passed away. And then I had to see it in the media for a year. And so going through some of those things and losing family members to it, like seeing that makes it easy for me to be hard. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's just like actually not having to learn it the super hard way by doing it yourself. You know, that's actually just paying attention to what you see, taking in the data and applying it to your life, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Wow. That really is, you must sleep like a champ. Do you?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I mean, like sleep is such a key for me, no matter what. And then it's this, you know, cycle that you've got building, like where you're sleeping so well. So you're able to be more disciplined. So you're able to show up better. And like, it's just this huge snowball effect. What's some of your favorite advice that you give people?
Sign contracts with everyone, including your mom.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Read the whole contract too.
So the concept is not that you're going to sue your mom. The concept is, let's say Amy is my mom. And I say, Mom, I'm going to clean my room this week. And on Friday, you can give me some money. And Amy's like, sure, Dan. Sounds good. And I go clean my room for the next 5 days in a row. And on Friday, I'm expecting her to give me $50, $10 a day. Mm-hmm. And Amy gives me $5 because she thought I might clean my room once, twice. I don't know. She doesn't know how many times I'm going to clean it. We never said that. And I should clean my room anyway because I should have a clean room. Right. And so she gives me $5. I'm resentful towards her now because I'm expecting $50. I'm like ready to buy some sports cards this weekend with the $50 and I only get $5. All of that could have got resolved in the beginning if I say, hey, Mom, I'm going to clean my room for the next 5 days. I like $10 a day. And she said, yeah, right. I'll give you $5 a day or I'll give you $5 for the whole week and then we can talk about it. The hard part for people is they don't want to say the clarity in the beginning. And it will remove so many of the failure situations, tensions, arguments, breakups and relationships, et cetera, if you just say the things in the beginning. And so when I say sign contracts with everyone, I'm talking about two things, either a memorandum of understanding, which is MOU, or a scope of work, SOW. So a memorandum of understanding or a scope of work, where it says, hey, I'm going to do this for the next 5 days. And if I do these things for the next 5 days, I will get X. And that way there's clarity. What if I only clean my room 2 out of the 5 days? And then she decides to hand me XYZ, different dollar amount. And I promised I was going to do it for 5 days. You see where I'm going? Like, there's clarity in the agreement. And so the agreements are not meant to be some big, long contracts. They're just for clarity. And oftentimes people miss out on, and most frustrations happen, most breakups and relationships happen, personal, business, staff, vendors, clients, et cetera, is through either miscommunication or no communication. You remove the fear of that if you communicate in the beginning. I'm going to do this. Amy's going to do this. And this will happen in this next 5 day period. Same thing applies, whether it's a contract, an agreement for business, life, or anything in between. Use your words and put those words on paper.
I'm a big fan of that too. I agree. And the key there too, that you said, is in the beginning, like, you like, don't think that you can do it later. I even did it with my kids for when they got their phones, because I knew that if you tried to make rules later on it, it wasn't going to stick. And so I tried to spell everything out in a contract with them and go over, like, hit everything I could. And that way we've already got things in place for when they get older, and I just can refer back to it, which has been great. Because I'm like, you don't own this phone. I do. So, you know, we've already got stuff in place.
Yep.
Yeah. Have you learned that the hard way? What was your hardest lesson in that?
I just had a situation many years ago where a friend was supposed to, we like had a business together and I put up a bunch of money into it. They went off and started working on something else. And then they got hired by a big company and like kind of just disappeared. We didn't really talk for like a year and a half, 2 years. I continued scaling the business that I put up the money for, and they had done nothing for it. And they showed back up a year and a half, 2 years later, wanting 50% of that business. Even though we literally hadn't talked in a year and a half, they didn't put up a dollar for it. They didn't have the logins to anything. They didn't sign on anything. There weren't any contracts, et cetera. And then we had to go through a lawsuit. I won the lawsuit, but it cost me 150 grand in legal fees. Like, all from something very simple, like, hey, if you're part of this business and you do X, Y, and Z, this is what you get. Instead, you know, when he left for a year and a half, 2 years, and then just showed up wanting 50% of a company that he had literally nothing to do with, you know, it's just been stuck in my brain that not only did I lose $150,000 in legal and a year or two of headache, I lost a friend over nothing. That we would have been that would have been a lifelong friend for decades and decades. And they lost more because obviously we would have done a bunch more things together. And so I just feel like it's been stuck in my brain that things like that could have been resolved easily. And I'd still have that friend and we'd still be doing things together. And I'm really not mad at them over it. It's just like greed stepped in, or because they didn't have clarity, they thought they were right, by the way. They thought they were right. And and so I just can remove all those type of things in advance by just saying, this is what we're doing, this is what you're doing, and this is what happens if we do it or we don't do it.
Yeah, I know. And it can feel a little weird at first, at least it has for me in the past, you know, like laying that out, but it's probably like a muscle, you know, you just get used to doing it and say, hey, this is avoiding anything in the long run, right?
Yep.
So, yeah. All right. Well, as we're getting closer to time, I was wondering if there was anything that you really wanted to talk about today that maybe we haven't covered, or that's been just, I don't know, on your mind right now, or anything you want to reiterate that's really important to you.
I think the main thing is, like, when I sign my books, I only sign with three words: just get started. We're in a time right now where you can build a business or a side hustle really, really quick and really, really cheap. Like, what used to cost me 6 months to a year to start up, I could do in 6 days or 6 hours, because all the platforms are cheap or free now. All the services you need are cheap or free. All the access information is free. Like, you have so much access to do anything now. And so when I say just get started, it's like, you know, your uncle is like, I have the best idea for a fishing lure. And every Thanksgiving dinner, he brings it up to you. I have the best idea for a fishing lure. And then at Christmas, like, man, you're going to see my fishing lure one day. And then next year, Valentine's Day, and then next year at the next Thanksgiving dinner, they keep bringing it up. And for 12 years, you hear about your uncle's fishing lure that he never starts. You and I, me and Amy, could start right now, today, fishinglures.net. We can buy our fishing lures from Alibaba. I can go get at fishinglures.net on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube, etc. for free. I can populate them with pictures of different fishing lures that I source from Alibaba. I can make a Shopify site for free. I can go get my LLC for us right now, get a bank account open. And this week, fishinglures.net is open, selling social media posting, videos. We're Amy and I are making videos about fishing lures while my uncle has been talking about it for 12 years. And so I just said, you know, like, if you just get started and you research a lot about what you like, your passion, career, hobby, and you research really, like, seriously research everything about the competitors, the industry, and everything between, you'll be surprised what will happen if you just start to get into the game.
Yeah. What do you look for in a good pitch? Like, if somebody was pitching you something?
Them having all their ducks in a row already. They already have their corporation. They already have their LLC. They already have their bank account. They already have investment documents. They already have their business plan. They already know who their customers are. They already know who the weaknesses. They already know their competitors. They know what the bad stuff, like, them just knowing everything to me, not everything, you know what I mean? Like, knowing a lot of things, almost everything about their space, that makes me comfortable that they actually spent the time to research everything about their competitors, the industry, who they're going to sell to, who's their perfect client, what's the net profits, like, how are they going to scale it? What happens when they hit X, Y, like, just knowing everything about a business to me is compelling, because most people that pitch me, like, tell me they're going to send me a business plan. They never do. They don't have a corporation or investment document. So if I liked it, I can't even wire them money anyways. There's no documents. There's no bank account. So most people are just not set up. And so if you just go through the process of setting up shop, researching everything, you will stand out leaps and bounds over most people.
That's excellent advice. Like so good. Cause I can't tell you how many ideas I've had, but you just throw them around, you know, like, a lot of people just throw them around, you know, and like, it's the matter of getting serious is what can attract it actually happening. And you're not your uncle sitting around at Thanksgiving or whatever, fantasizing about fishing lures. So, just get started. What are you starting next? What's next for you? What's going on?
I'm in scale mode this year. I'm not starting anything new. So I'm just scaling in the sports cards and Pokemon stores. We have 9 stores now. I'm scaling the acai bowl places. We have 60 locations now. I'm scaling the mastermind groups. I'm scaling the podcast. Like, I don't want to start anything new. This year, I call it my scaling year. I'm trying to scale the social media agency, just scale the things that I already have, so I don't get distracted.
That's good. I mean, do you always do that? Like, sort of find a focus and like, that's what you, where you hone in on?
Yes. Yeah? I'm very addicted personality. So like, I want to hone in on certain things. And then when I'm in the mode of like, okay, let's go hunt down investments. Like, I'm going to go investing this next 3 months or this next year. That's what I do. I just go all in. I need to have that, you know, I need to have that focus and I need to have that reason to do something.
Cool. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for doing this today. Thanks for taking an hour out of your busy time, because I know how busy you are. And I was super excited to meet you and hear you speak, and it stayed with me. And so I know this podcast will add a lot of value to a lot of people, and really it just lights a fire in a really good way to take action. And like you said, just get started. So anyway, thank you so much, Dan. And everyone, can you share how everyone can find you? I'll put it in the show notes too.
Yep. It's all the same at Dan Fleischman is on every platform. And for you guys listening, you should do the same thing for yourself. Try to have the same screen name on every platform, same bio photo and same bio. So make it easier for people to find you.
Consistency across all the platforms. Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much, Dan. I'm so grateful. Yeah. Thanks so much.
For having me.
You bet. You bet. And thanks everyone for showing up today. You're showing up for yourself. And you know what? Just get started. Literally just get started. And if you think you're too far behind, there's a 16-year-old that's just starting right now. So why not adopt that mindset? Right. A beginner mentality is a beautiful thing. So thank you, Dan. And everything will be in the show notes. If you want to check out his podcast as well, I highly recommend it. Again, thank you so much. Rate, review, subscribe, do all the things. You're kicking ass at life. Keep going. Just get started. Till next time.
This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.